coming up on today's podcast. A bit of this.
Do you know Angedi's babies?
Not all of them.
Yeah.
And a bit of this.
He's got some heavy sugar in that urine.
Yeah, he's been eating a lot of Satan's sweeties.
Hello, and welcome to Modern Art is Rubbish, episode number 5. Are you all right, Tom?
Hi, Marcus. Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Well, today we're going to be talking about controversial Ooh. Subjects. So this may not be suitable for little children, so we'll leave it to your discretion. I've been looking at art that causes a bit of a storm, I think would be the description. And I've been looking at a few pieces today, so are you up for that then?
Yeah, so I guess controversy, we're not talking about like art that's so bad that it upsets people. We're talking about the subjects that get people's backs up.
Yeah, we're not talking about Angedi's babies. Do you know Angedi's babies?
Not all of them.
Yeah. So there was this fad, I think it was in the 90s, where she put babies in flower pots and put flowers on their heads, and they were really popular.
What, real babies?
Yeah, real babies. So they looked happy. They were happy to be in these flower pots, and no babies were harmed in the making of the Angedi's pictures. Yeah. What prompted me to investigate the controversial subjects was, I don't know if you remember, there was a really botched restoration of a fresco in Spain, yeah?
Yeah. And she had a go, didn't she?
She had a go. For people that don't know, there was a fresco that was restored by a lady.
When you say a fresco, what is a fresco?
A fresco is a painting that's done directly onto wet plaster. With this one, it was on the wall. So this lady painted it, and it became quite a laughing stock. I think a lot of people looked at it and thought, oh my God.
Yeah, it appeared in all the tabloids over
here. Yes, it did. It got very famous. And in the end, as a result, the struggling church, if it was a struggling church, is no longer a struggling church. And it has thousands and thousands of visitors from all over the world that are attracted to this fresco. So it's turned out to be a really good thing.
Yeah, so bad that it's good.
I got this beautiful quote from the actual woman who restored it. And she said, "Sometimes, after seeing it for so long, I think to myself, son of mine, you are not as ugly as I thought you were in the beginning." And that's her speaking in LP newspaper. She clearly loves her work. But I want to talk about another one.
Another fresco?
No, and a sculpture work. It's a statue of Mary and the baby Jesus that stood outside a Catholic church in Sudbury in Canada. Now, this statue has been repeatedly vandalised. Eventually, the head of Jesus had been knocked off it. At the time, the damage done would have cost $7,000 roughly to replace. So a local artist thought, well, you know, why are you raising the money? I'll replace the head. Words fail me in describing what this head looks like. Now, the whole statue was originally sort of white. And this local artist temporarily restored the head with a terracotta-coloured Jesus. I think it has charm, but I don't know how much it's in keeping with the rest of the statue.
Well, it's not at all, for a start. It's it looks like a weird creature. Doesn't look like the son of the woman standing there, which is Mary, or should I call her the Virgin Mary?
I don't know what her official title is. If I was the Three Kings, imagine if you're the Three Kings and you've travelled all that way and you're confronted with terracotta Jesus.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of the mother. I mean, the mother's got this like gargoyle baby. I mean, it's definitely, you're going to say that's definitely adopted.
If I was Joseph, I'd be saying, who's the father? Look, I mean, looking at that, you know, it's obviously got a bit of fame now. They've now managed to raise money to replace the terracotta temporary head with a restored head. Now, if you look at the picture of the restored head, there's something going on with the nose. What's happened is it looks like someone's punched Jesus in the nose and squashed his nose completely flat.
Yeah. It looks a bit like a royal baby.
Well, I like it. It's a controversial statement for our topic of controversy, so I'm not even going to come back on that, Tom.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know if it's controversial. It has a kind of air of Prince George about it.
So the first seriously controversial work I want to talk about is a work called Myra, and that was painted in 1995. And it was painted by an artist called Marcus Harvey. And what it is a painting of the notorious child murderer Myra Hindley, who in the 1960s, with her boyfriend, abducted and murdered several children. Now, looking at the painting, it's a painting that's made in grey and black and white, so sort of greyscale. And what the artist has done is he's used casts of a child's hand to build up a black, white and grey image. And this was actually displayed at the Sensation Exhibition of Young British Artists, which was a kind of controversial art show, and it caused a massive stir in the press. So much so that it's been attacked. Someone actually walked in and kicked the painting from the wall and splattered the painting with red and blue ink. And another man actually threw an egg at it. Marcus Harvey, now he does a lot of painting. He's done one called Clown with a Skull. So it's a clown painted with a skull viewed through frosted glass. And then he's got another one, which is called a bronze, called the Lord High Admiral, which is a sculpture of Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill looks like he's got a moppy Mohican haircut, and it's actually done in bronze.
That reminds me of God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It
kind of has a kind of late 70s sort of feel to me.
It's a bit moppy, so it's Mop Save the Queen, isn't it? Save the Queen. I quite like Marcus Harvey's work. To my mind, I think it's a shame that he's had the Myra, that you need to have a scandal in order to get the rest of your work known. It's almost like your signature piece. The next guy is an artist called Andreas Serrano. Now, he mostly takes photographs. Now, he was inspired by the scandal caused by a single work of art, and he's actually used that in a piece, not the one I'm going to talk about, but he's used it in another piece. So it's interesting that there is an awareness of how to sell images, and if you use shock value, then you create scandal, but obviously what you do is you promote the artwork as well. This piece I'm going to talk about is called Immersion, and in brackets, Piss Christ. It's a photograph that came out in 1989 showing a crucifix plunged into a vat of the artist's urine. If you look at it, it's very orange and yellow.
Yeah, so is it very small? Because you imagine if it's a vat, that sounds quite big. I mean, that's a lot of piss.
Yeah, probably took a long time to collect his wee-wee.
Yeah, because I guess you can get to a point where you just keep drinking and keep pissing. It must be humanly possible to piss a lot in a short time.
Well, I have concerns because I know that it's supposed to be quite clear, isn't it? That if it's that colour as it is in the photograph, I would suggest that his diet could be improved.
Or maybe he's got a healthy diet and he's eating those correct foods, as we've discussed on podcasts before.
We have discussed, and we always come to the colour of wee-wee. But I think he's...
Yeah, but it's like you dip stuff in urine.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm an insulin-dependent diabetic, so I can stick a test strip in my urine. I can measure the sugar, and it turns a different colour. And looking by the colour that Christ's cross has turned, he looks like he's got some heavy sugar in that urine.
Yeah, he's been eating a lot of Satan's sweeties.
So he's made a Christ on a cross, and he's put it into a vat of urine.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was controversial because...
Well...
Christ shouldn't be in urine.
Yeah, it caused deep offence, in actual fact.
In religious circles, yes. I take it.
Yes, it caused deep offence in religious circles. When it was shown in Avignon in France in 2011, the photograph and the frame was totally destroyed. Someone got a knife and destroyed that photograph that was shown then.
So this is like a Christian fundamentalist?
I don't know. Just Christians. I mean, it's also been vandalised in Australia. Serrano has actually received death threats and hate mail. Part of the controversy about this piece was the fact that he received money from a state-funded art council. So it was using American taxpayers' money. And this is what caused a lot of controversy. The interesting thing is, he was raised as a strict Catholic. He still identifies as a Christian. So his idea is it's more shocking, you know, what happens with the commercialization of Jesus, you know, all, I suppose, Jesus T-shirts, nodding Jesuses in cars. I don't know what other commercial Jesus products are there. It's probably everything, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus action figure I've seen. And that was more the idea that he was upset about this commercialization. But I think he was also saying, you know, putting Jesus, a person on the cross, and nailing a person to the cross is shocking. And that's more shocking than this image. I talked about him being inspired by a scandal. He did one piece where he showed a poster of a woman weeing into a man's mouth. And what happened was an outpouring of like anger and upset and scandal in the media. And as a result, he had thousands and thousands and thousands of people turn up to his show because of the controversy of the images.
Yeah, but I mean, it's quite easy to like upset like fundamentalist Christians. You could just put an upside down Jesus in a gallery and they'd get upset and send you hate mail, couldn't you?
Oh, you're so controversial. Come on, I'm offended by that. I don't know about, that's so offensive.
No, but I mean, I had a song that had God is gay in the line, and you know the song of mine. Yeah. That I had.
Yeah.
And I had letters on my MySpace page from like American Christians, they were saying it was wrong, I was going to hell, I should get it taken down, they were going to try and get me banned. You know, it was just, they'd go on, like ranting at me just for those like words. It wasn't like much effort on, I didn't intend to like offend anyone.
No, there was no and insult. It was actually quite a positive song, I think.
The intention was positive, yeah. But with lots of offensive content in a positive way.
Yeah. He's continued on with other stuff, like he's done a Killer Clown, I suppose, before the recent release of it, and this is in his Dream series, and he did a thing of conjoined twins dressed in royal costumes. And he's also done work including burn victims, or he's done a series of stuff where people are in the morgue. He likes to do very strong images.
And there's a Piss Satan as well.
Yes, yes, Piss Satan. Now, better and less people were offended by putting Satan in Wii. If I said,
yeah, well, Satan lives in Wii already, apparently.
Isn't it Bile and Bile and Hellfire? I think that's the...
Oh, is it? All right, yeah.
Yeah, Bile and Hellfire. I think that's the vibe. That's the Satan vibe. Bile and Hellfire. Right, on to the next one. Paul McCarthy. I just want to say that when you type in the artist name Paul McCarthy, Google keeps saying Paul McCartney. It's one of those instances where you have to fight with your spell checker or with Google to bring up the name Paul McCarthy, the artist. And in 2014, he was asked to install an inflatable sculpture outside the Place Vendôme in Paris. It's a really, really big, it's about four stories high sculpture, which he described originally as a Christmas tree. But when you look at this inflatable sculpture, it has the distinct look of it being a butt plug. I can't say any other way, really.
Yeah, but I mean, it's quite a Christmassy butt plug, and to be fair, and it's like if someone used it as a butt plug, they'd have an enormous butt, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
because it is so big. So how did the controversy manifest itself?
Paul McCarthy is a very unusual or interesting artist. Now, the thing is he looked at earlier sculptures of works like artists like Brancusi, who was around about, you're talking more around the time of Picasso, kind of like the modernist, one of the first sort of modernist minimal sculptors.
And Picasso.
Picasso, or Picasso, yeah, Picasso. I'm posh. That's a, what our posh Essex people say. We say Picasso. So he was saying that the sculptures of Brancusi looked like sexy fun. He thought that they looked a bit like special things.
Well, Picasso said that.
No. Paul McCarthy, when he was looking on the sculptures. He actually, when questioned and when probed further about this subject, he actually confessed that, yes, he had noticed the passing resemblance of the tree and what it actually might look like.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't suppose many people use butt plugs. It's not the sort of thing that, like, a child would look at and go, oh, it looks like a butt plug.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think people did know what it meant, because there was one shop owner whose shop, I assume, was quite near to this place, and after this was installed, his sale of plugs in his special shop increased by nearly 2,000%. In the period.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
shop.
Like souvenir. They probably thought they were fun sexual souvenirs.
They actually went in there, always a souvenir. It's a Christmas tree souvenir. But this piece, you would think, right, it's a big inflatable green thing, right? It's not so bad, but the artist, while he was setting this up, someone actually attacked him and bashed him round the head several times.
What, with a vibrator?
No. Just generally, just attacked the guy. Someone also cut the cords to this sculpture, so the whole sculpture deflated. Another thing to add is Paul McCarthy was quoted in ArtNet News as saying, people may be offended if they want to refer to it as a plug, but for me, it's more of an abstraction. He kind of hinted he knew what it looked like, but he's also saying if people want to be offended by something that's an abstract shape, then they're putting their own interpretation on it, which I quite like the idea.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, he talks about innocently making this, but having said that, you know, he has done other works where he's used his body as a paintbrush and he's used bodily fluids, you know, and he's done artworks where he's smeared his body with paint and then ketchup, raw meat, mayonnaise, and in one case, poo-poo. So he does court controversy in some of his other works. I mean, for instance, there's one where he did a sculpture, looking at it, it's a pink George Bush Jr. I don't know if George Bush Jr. or George Bush II, the former president, and he's having intimate relations with what looks to be like a melted pink pig. And the whole sculpture is pink, so you can see he certainly is someone that doesn't shy away from the more sort of dark recesses of your mind. I can't actually watch his films all the way through because they disturb me too much. I find them quite disturbing. I'm not saying they are, but I don't know. What do you feel, Tom? How did you feel when you watched a Paul McCarthy film?
Yeah, I found it quite funny. It was quite out there. It was almost like it was quite sort of childish, and but sort of, and I liked him. I enjoyed it, and I watched the whole thing. It was like an hour long film of him making weird sort of noises and like painting pieces. And then in part of his film, he's talking to an art director or the owner of a gallery, and he's constantly in a tantrum and shouting at them, demanding money, and like behaving ridiculously, and that went on throughout the film. Then he'd go back to his studio and carry on working with his art, and he'd pick up stuff with his hands, splat it against the wall, he'd like gyrate against his pieces to like make his art, and it was all just like ridiculing artists and their work and their egos.
Well, it's interesting you took the view of that, because he's very, very anti-mass media and consumer culture. So it ties into your analysis of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I could recognise, artists in it that I knew or that maybe I was myself in past times. I could see the ridiculousness of it. I recognised it in people I know and so on.
Yeah.
Like how the artist is thinking themselves so wonderful. So I quite enjoyed it. I found it really funny.
Yeah, maybe I find it disturbing because I'm the artist that thinks I'm so wonderful. You can look for
so,
it.
So, yeah, this George Bush one. So it's like a pink model of George Bush and he's like, he's f***ing pigs, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that actually happened, didn't it?
No, that was David Cameron.
Oh, it was David Cameron.
Allegedly. Other animals were available.
So what year was the George Bush one? Because was it a political comment or was it just like a bit of poking fun at political comments?
I think he's just poking fun. He uses Disney. He uses American culture. He appeals to those dark recesses of the mind, I find. They're places that I think exist within all of us. So he turns over stones in my head that I don't want unturned. And I think there's stones that exist in everyone.
Yeah, I won't press you on what's under your stones, but I mean, I'm here any time you want to talk.
Yeah. Tom, so we've been talking about special instruments, and we've been talking about wee-wee and other things. And babies in flower pots. But not all controversy is like that. Sometimes it's just that people are not understanding the nature of the art. In 1981, there was a big steel sculpture installed. And it's 12 feet high and 120 feet long. And it sort of curves in a subtle arc over its whole length. And it's slightly leaning forwards. Now, this was installed in New York, a plaza in New York, outside a government building. And it was actually commissioned by the General Services Administration and it was produced by the artist Richard Serra. You think, well, it's a steel sculpture. It's not that controversial, really, is it?
Well, it's a wall and it's in an arc. I mean, you know, walls generally got to be straight. Maybe people didn't like that.
Yeah, maybe it was the curvature of the thing that got people upset. Because it caused them, it caused the people in the office to raise a petition to get it removed. And they had 1,300 people sign a petition to get rid of it. This was then presented back to the General Administration Services, who said, well, there's 10,000 people who work in the office, so go away, you know.
Yeah, it's only 13%. Yeah. You're never going to get Brexit with 13%, yeah, are you? Yeah. It's yeah, all right.
The ironic thing was is that you say that, but apparently when they were talking about its removal, they were saying about the will of the people. They actually yeah. did. This was actually quoted in the case. So it's left there. This big steel sculpture was left in situ and people got used to it. And then a new politician takes over in 1984.
Well, the head of the General Services.
Yes, yes, the new administrator.
What is the General Services? What department is that? Is that like the Home Office?
The General Services Administration is responsible for the day-to-day running and preservation of government buildings. I also believe they do things like supplies for the buildings. So a new regional administrator comes in. It's William Diamond. And he decides, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this piece of art. So what he does is he actually says, right, we need a public hearing about this, whether the piece should be moved or not. He sets himself up at the top in charge of it and gets four of his, probably his buddies, his mates, to sit on the panel. So in the end, they have a big meeting about it. And 100, even though 120 people spoke in favour of retaining the artwork, and 58 people came and spoke against
it. This is at the general meeting?
Yeah, this is at the general meeting about whether to move it. They ruled that it's got to be removed. Now, bearing in mind that to remove it, it would cost about $35,000. With an additional 50,000 estimate if they were to put it somewhere else. Now, the problem is this is an artwork that's been installed in situ, so actually in the place it was meant to be. It was designed specifically for this place. And when it was originally approved, the artist, Richard Serra, was told this is going to stay there. it's not going to be moved and it's going to be there forever. So he took them to court. He tried to sue them for to stop them from removing it. And in the end, the court ruled that, no, the government owns it. So there's nothing you can do. So it was actually dismantled.
Oh, that's quite a sad story.
Yeah. But do you know, one of the things they argued in the court case was the fact it's a graffiti attraction. They mentioned something to do with rats, which I'm not quite sure what rats would be doing. But the most creative idea that they argued for it to be removed was the fact that it could be used as a bomb blast wall, so that terrorists could use it to blow bombs up against because of the tilt and the angle of the wall. And that was actually an argument on the website. I've put a link. You can hear them talk about it. And it's the most creative argument.
So I guess what's his name, Sarah, is he's being accused of being a terrorist sympathiser on some level.
Well, I mean, it sounds very odd. I think the ultimate failing with this piece was the fact that there was no consultation beforehand. I think had they said to the public and to the office workers, you know, this is what we're proposing, what are your problems and we can talk about it. They made a big mistake that way, is installing a piece of public art and not consulting beforehand with the public.
Oh, right,
because I think they might have warmed to the steel sculpture. Out of interest as well, if there's anyone in London or anyone in England, there is a piece of Richard Serra's steel work that's installed outside Liverpool Street. So I'd really recommend you go and see that.
Maybe for a bit of fun, we could petition to get it removed.
I'm offended. You only need two out of 60 million and then it'll be the will of the people anyway. So. So that's the end of our first controversial episode. And if you want to get in contact with us, our email address is info@modernartisrubbish.com. So that's info@modernartisrubbish.com. I'd be really happy to hear from people about anything. And again, on the Facebook, please remember to like us on Facebook and subscribe. And if you want to leave comments on the website about the episode or you've got any questions, email us. I really want to hear from you because I'd really like to actually start engaging with some of you. If you want to talk to us online, please do. Apart from that, is there anything to add? Is there, Tom, except for the goodbyes?
Oh, so the goodbyes, was this is a group of artists.
Yeah, the goodbyes, slightly angry birds. Angry birds? No, the angry penguins, angry birds. Angry Penguins is a movement, Angry Birds is a game, you know. Other games are available.
And the goodbyes was a group of artists who presumably were just saying goodbye to each other and to others at the same time.
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder, they call themselves artists, what is art?